The next.
Hello, this is Ash Rowan, Rosa Radney's assistant. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that you can learn more about Rosa's work at www.masteringmagicwitchcraft.com, or you can check out her blog at www.rose-ariadne.com.
One is, this goes back to, I think you're going to answer this with the belief thing we already talked about, but I'll find out. I always doubt myself and my spells during and after I cast them. Why is this, and what can I do to have more confidence? Is this maybe why my spells do absolutely nothing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, that would be why.
Okay.
Without, you know, one of the things that you'll hear a lot in, they had actually used it in movies, which was a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
You'll hear it from a lot in witchcraft is with perfect love and perfect trust. You know, whether it's I enter this circle with perfect love and perfect trust, I do this with perfect love and perfect trust. Without the element of trust, which involves trust in yourself, trust in the natural law of the world around you, trust in whoever your god or goddess or both are, trust in the elements, without those, that trust, which also can be described as faith, your spell's not likely to work. Again, the energy you send out is just going to be weak because you're going to be doubting. You're going to be doubting if it's going to work, doubting if you're strong enough, doubting if your belief is strong enough, your faith is strong enough. You know, the trust and faith and belief in what you do is absolutely paramount.
Okay.
And another reason that you might, that somebody might see their spells as not working is that they might just not be patient enough. Sometimes spells can take a very long time to work.
Really?
Again, it comes into having faith and trust. Faith that goddess and God know what's best for you, that they know when you're ready to receive something or when you're ready to have something banished from your life.
Right.
So you do your spell, you put all your focus and energy into it, and then best thing I was ever told is that once you've done it, you forget about it.
So don't keep dwelling on it.
Right. And it could be a spell that you do every night for a week. It could be something you do just once.
Right.
But every single time you're done and you've closed your circle, you just do something good for yourself. You relax, you watch TV, you read a book, you do something. If you have to distract yourself from thinking about it, distract yourself from thinking about it. And that's where your belief and faith comes out. What happens is that when you dwell on something afterward, some of the energies that you've been using, you trap to yourself. You can bind them to yourself.
Oh, and you don't release them and let
them
do what you want.
Okay. So releasing all the energies and then having the faith that whether it's you believe that God and Goddess will allow this outcome for you or that the elements will go ahead and take care of this for you with the energy you've called from them to use, the faith that your energies have been directed, they're on their way, they're doing what they need to do to have an effect.
Right.
Just let it go.
Yeah. That sounds like a good way to do it. Now, have you ever done a spell where the results are pretty immediate, like within a day or two?
I have. I've had, you know, all different kinds of results. I've been doing this for over 20 years, so I've had numerous different kinds of results.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I've had times where immediately you can feel a change in things. Like, I'm trying to think of a really good example. When I moved into the house that I live in, or before I moved in. When I was getting it ready, I was doing some renovations on it, and I had a friend who was very psychic, and he was helping me. And the first time that he came over to the house, it was nighttime, and I had bought, we had a pool there in the back, and I had bought a little solar cover for it. So I was going to cut that and put it over the pool, and my friend, as a birthday present to me, was going to scrub the bathroom, because I was just like, ew, it's somebody else, you know, somebody else is living there, I don't want to touch it.
Right.
So he was going to do that for me. So he's inside scrubbing away, cleaning it up, and I'm outside cutting this pool cover, and at one point I went inside and said, you know, how's it going? How are you doing here? And he said, oh, I'm just fine, but, you know, you've got some ghosts here.
Oh,
and I was
really?
Like, what? Because it wasn't until I think it was just 2 years ago that I ever actually saw a ghost myself.
Right.
I could feel them sometimes, a little bit, but I've unfortunately my mind's always been too busy to be extremely receptive to psychic energies,
right.
Which is something else I struggle with Wicca.
Yeah,
trying to still my mind enough to allow me to do the work
Focus.
Successfully.
Yeah,
and so I was like, my gosh, I have ghosts. He said, yeah, you have three of them. They've been watching me clean. I was like, well, God, tell me about them. You know, what's up with this? So he described them to me. So they didn't seem malicious or anything. They were just curious.
Yeah.
Just very neutral and curious. So I had learned when I was really young, I was probably about 17, I learned how to go ahead and help ghosts get to the other side,
mm-hmm.
which is really, really easy.
It is.
All of TV and all the psychics out there that do all this stuff make it seem like it's so complex and you have to do all these things and say these words. And,
yeah.
And it's really simple.
I see.
All you need to do, you know, you don't need any tools for it. You don't even need to cast a circle because it's just like talking to another person.
Oh, really?
You just say, if you know the names of the people who they were in this life,
uh-huh.
then, you know, it's always good to use their names.
Right.
If not, you say, you know, anybody who's dwelling here, you have died. It might be hard to believe, however you
yeah.
want to phrase this.
Right.
You've passed on. Your life here is done. Go to the light. Find the light of God and go to God or goddess or just the light, if you want to just use the word the light. Because
right.
one thing, again, in researching for many years about near-death experiences, the most common thing is that people see God as being an incredibly vibrant
light.
White light that, you know, brighter than anything we could imagine seeing here
yeah.
on this plane. And so saying, you know, go to the light, usually gets rid of them. You might have to do it, you know, two or three times, but usually the ghosts are gone after that.
Okay.
They're able to move on. Usually it seems that what usually happens is they just don't realize they're dead. They go about the same things they did in life. So if you have, you know, you hear a lot of haunted houses where maybe you'll hear somebody walking up the stairs around the same time every night.
Yeah.
Or lights going on and off around the same time. They're just doing the same things they did in life because they don't know they're dead.
So they're just kind of caught in like a no man's land.
Right. They're just going about their routine. And, you know, their daily routine.
Right.
And they usually, once you tell them they're dead, they usually know that's what's been wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's why sometimes it seems like, you know,
nothing.
For me it's only been a couple minutes that have passed, but when I look at the people who are now living in my house, it seems like it's been a year.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, that's why other people are living in my house with me, that I catch glimpses of sometimes.
So you did a little spell, or basically...
So I just basically, I talked to them,
uh-huh.
And then the next day I cast a protection circle around my entire property.
Uh-huh.
And I went ahead and first I did a banishment of all negative energies.
Right.
Then after that was done, I cast a protection all around my house, strong visualizations of a sphere encompassing my entire property.
Wow.
And anybody who I allow to enter my property to be protected by it.
Right.
And the very next time my friend came over, it was just a few days later, he came over and he kind of had leaned up against the wall, put his hand on the wall, and he said, oh, my God, what did you do?
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean?
He could sense it.
I wanted to get his opinion without letting him know anything, you know, so that it could be as objective as possible.
Right.
I said, well, why don't you go around the house, you know, and tell me what you sense. You know, before I tell you anything, if I did anything or not, you know, just tell me what you sense from all the way around the house.
So he didn't even know what you had done when
right.
he came over. He just said that, you know, oh, my gosh, what...
Right,
have
what
you,
did you do?
Without even knowing.
Right, he
oh,
had
wow.
no idea. So he, you know, went around, he felt the walls, and you know, walls in, all around the house, and he came back and he said, well, he said, the ghosts are definitely gone. They're not here anymore. And he said, but in your house feels happy. He said, it feels like your house has a spirit to itself.
Wow.
Like there's a, you know, a guardian spirit of the house, and it's incredibly happy to have you here. It's joyous. It loves you. It loves being here.
Wow.
And it's so happy that you and your husband are moving in.
Wow. Wow.
I was just like on the verge of tears.
That's great.
So you can see where things, you can have an immediate effect.
Yeah.
You know, there was a not so nice situation when I was a teenager, and I did a spell to get a boyfriend back who had broken up with me.
Oh.
Big mistake, but I was like 16, and I didn't know any, I'd only been practicing for a year, and I didn't know anything any better.
Right.
So, you know, he broke up with me. I was devastated. Did a spell to get him back, and, you know, the results of that were, it was like 1 or 2 days later that he came back to me apologizing, wanting to get back together.
Really?
Now, the negative consequences of that, because I was affecting his free will,
yes,
were that, you know, in total, I was with him for a year and a half. He was the... He was really the second person I had ever truly been in love with, but he was the first person I had had a real relationship with.
Right.
And because the first person I had been in love with just wasn't available to me.
Right.
We knew each other and we were friends, but was not available to me.
Yeah.
So he was the first person I had a real relationship with. So for a year and a half, we were together. He broke up with me and got back together with me numerous times.
Oh.
So I had my heart broken, you know, at least 6 times. 7 at the final end of that year and a half.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it just dragged on and on, and I experienced a whole lot of hurt.
Yeah.
And I think that
more
that,
than you had to.
Right, exactly. And I think ultimately that comes from my, you know, screwing around with his free will to begin with.
Right. You should just let him go the first time because you guys obviously weren't meant to be together.
Right. And yeah. If someone was going to, you know, break up with me, treat me the way he didn't break up with me in the way he did, he wasn't good for me. You know, I'm 16. I didn't believe that. I didn't know any better.
Right.
But, you know, hindsight being 20/20, I can now see the you know, devastating consequences it had on me in, you know, messing around with his free will.
Yeah. Wow, what a story. Well, thank you so much for
those. Oh, you're
welcome. So it can happen fast. So, it you know, it sometimes it can take a long time, and sometimes it can happen really fast.
And in my mundane life, I'm a psychotherapist.
Right.
And one thing that I had to learn in treating people, especially when I was in school, my internship lasted 1 year. So I would see people for a maximum of 1 year, and then I had to go on to a different site, a different internship, and they would get a different therapist coming in, a new intern.
Right.
And with a lot of things in psychotherapy, you don't see results very quickly. Sometimes it can take many, many, many years for the message to finally hit home, for a person to finally realize, you know, what they've been doing or what has been going on in their life that they need to change and actually make those changes.
Right.
So very early on in graduate school, you know, I got really frustrated saying, you know, why can't this person just change?
Yeah.
You know, it was my desire for them to change, not their own desire for themselves to change. And I had to learn to be very patient and, to have faith that maybe what I'm talking to this person about today isn't going to have an impact now. You know, maybe it's not going to have an impact next year. Maybe it will have an impact in 5 years or in 20 years.
Okay.
But to have the faith that because what I was doing was coming from a place of love and empathy and truly, truly wishing this person a better life, that eventually it would affect them in a positive way.
Right.
Okay. And that's kind of what you got to do with magic.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Remember to visit Rose at her blog, www.rose-ariadne.com, and also take a peek at her life's work at www.masteringmagicwitchcraft.com.